The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Over the last few sessions I've been here, we've been looking at exploring working with thoughts in our practice from different perspectives. And I thought I'd approach it from yet another perspective tonight. So just another take on look at how we can work with thoughts in our mindfulness practice. I think, often we have a relationship with our thoughts in our mindfulness practice that, first of all, we're not supposed to be thinking. And that's, that's not actually the goal of our mindfulness practice, is to stop thinking. More of our exploration is to come into a skillful relationship with thinking. So one of the first aspects around this is to explore what kind of thinking is happening. And the Buddha looked at this. I think I mentioned this last week, that the Buddha, in exploring his own thoughts, kind of put them on two sides. He said, I saw there's some thoughts that are not helpful, that they lead to my affliction, they lead to the affliction of others, they lead to harm, they lead to suffering. Those thoughts aren't so helpful. And then there are thoughts that are fine. They're not going to lead to harm or suffering or affliction for anyone, for myself or others. And so he began to analyze, look at his thoughts from this perspective of what's helpful, what are helpful thoughts and what are unhelpful thoughts, what are skillful thoughts and what are unskillful thoughts. And so this tonight I'd primarily like to look at how do we use thoughts skillfully. How can we actually bring skillful thought into our practice? But before I go there, I'd like to just say a few words to kind of give a little kind of overview of the terrain about unskillful thoughts. So one of the keys around unskillful thoughts, the Buddha in that reflection said he recognized, okay, these thoughts are unhelpful. If I think these thoughts, they don't lead to my benefit, they don't lead to good things, they actually lead to my harm, they lead to harm of others. So I abandoned them. And that sentence, I abandoned them, that encapsulates a lot of teaching right there. I mean, how do we abandon unskillful thoughts? That's not such an easy thing to do. We find, actually, in our minds that thoughts seem to come pretty much unbidden a lot of the time. And so what does it mean to abandon unskillful thoughts? So there's a couple of different perspectives I'd like to explore that from just briefly. And it's not so much about trying to stop those thoughts. I think the key, or one of the keys, the first key is to recognize which thoughts are not so helpful. If you're sitting there in your mind telling yourself, I'm a failure, I'm no good, I can't do anything right, those thoughts tend to be not so helpful. So what does it mean to abandon those thoughts? What would that mean? So paradoxically, it's not so much about stopping those thoughts, but it's about coming into a completely new relationship with those thoughts. So that we no longer essentially buy into those thoughts. We no longer are involved with those thoughts, but we recognize them as thoughts. There's a crucial distinction. This is a crucial distinction to point to. A distinction between being involved with a thought and recognizing this is a thought happening right now. So that's a key for our shift of relationship with our thoughts. As we can begin to learn that distinction, and it takes a little bit of exploration to begin to even learn what that distinction is. And one of the great places to begin to learn that distinction is when you recognize that you are waking up in the middle of thinking. You know, when you're sitting in meditation and you come back, you recognize, oh, I've not been paying attention to the breath. Often in that moment, you have become aware of thinking. In that moment, there's been a shift in your awareness from being caught in a thought, from being lost in the world of the thought, to recognizing, I'm aware, and there's a thought happening. So if you can play in that moment with noticing that, notice that distinction. What does it mean to actually wake up to be aware of a thought? That will be a great place to begin to recognize that key distinction between being caught in, lost in a thought, and being aware this is a thought that's happening. When we can be aware this is a thought that's happening, what seems to happen? It sounds like, what's the difference there, really? I mean, why is that so important? What seems to happen there is that when we recognize, in particular with an unskillful thought, when we recognize that this is just the thought happening, it kind of seems to undercut the belief that goes into that thought. So if you're sitting there telling yourself, oh, I'm such a miserable, lousy person, I can't do anything right, and then you're going to say, oh, these are thoughts. It's a different relationship to the belief in those thoughts. So explore that. Just explore that in your own practice and begin to see if you can recognize or begin to distinguish that crucial difference between being lost in thought, following along involvement with the thought, and in knowing this is a thought happening right here in the present moment. So that begins to help us let go of unskillful thoughts. A few weeks ago, somebody asked about if we can control our thoughts. Can we control our thoughts? If we think unskillful thoughts, can we learn how to control them? And this is, it's not exactly what we think of as control, this shift between being involved in a thought and knowing that it is simply a thought. It's not normally what we think of as control. Normally what we'd think of as control is being able to tell ourselves, stop thinking that thought, think another thought. And, you know, well, that might happen. You might be able to do that. But often we don't seem to have that capacity. But we can often begin to recognize this is the thought that's happening. And this begins to give us a little bit of, it's not what we normally call control, but it gives us a little bit of way to direct the mind away from being sucked into the whirlpool of that unwholesome, unskillful thought, and just recognizing this is simply a thought that's happening right now. So that's one approach, one way to begin to let go of unskillful thoughts. Another approach is to, in recognizing that we are thinking an unskillful thought, to try consciously replacing the thought with a more skillful version of a thought. So, you know, for example, if you're finding yourself caught in a story, you know, somebody has just said something really mean to you or something like that, and you're sitting there in your mind, you know, kind of lashing out at them, telling them what a nasty thing that was, you know, if your mind is caught in that kind of a unwholesome lashing out kind of thinking pattern, you could explore what it might mean to bring a different perspective in. And this is where we kind of transition into using skillful thoughts as a way to begin to navigate in our lives. So you might, for instance, in recognizing somebody has said something cruel to you, as you're thinking about how mean they were and what kind of mean thing you're going to say back to them, if you happen to become conscious in that moment, it does take waking up in that moment. It does take recognizing, okay, I'm thinking unskillful thoughts right now. If you can recognize that, you might be able to bring in a little bit of what we could call wisdom thoughts, wisdom and compassion thoughts. So, for instance, you might choose to consciously reflect, wow, you know, somebody who said something like that, maybe there's something really challenging happening in their life right now. You know, to reflect a little bit on the causes and conditions in their life that might have led them to say something like that. So when we can bring in some wisdom, bring wisdom into our mind, it can help us to let go of some of those unskillful directions that our mind is headed. So this is the direction I'd like to explore a little bit more tonight, is this use of skillful thought. How do we use thought skillfully in our daily life, in our practice? I mean, it's not so much about letting go of thoughts entirely, but about learning, as I said, learning what skillful thoughts are, what unskillful thoughts are, and how to use thought skillfully. So one of the key ways of skillfully using thought is through a reflective practice. Consciously using thought to reflect on themes, to reflect on situations. The Buddha actually recommended reflection. He didn't simply tell us to sit down and meditate and pay attention to our breath. He actually suggested we reflect on what's happening in our lives. Reflect on, again, through this perspective of what's helpful and what's unhelpful. When he talked to his son when he was 7 years old, the Buddha recommended that his son reflect on his actions before he did them. And then reflect, is this going to cause any harm or suffering to anybody, myself or another? And if it's not, then go ahead and do that action. And then he went on. And this was not only just bodily actions, but actions of speech and actions of mind as well. He said, reflect before you do these actions. Consciously think, is this going to cause harm? So again, the reflection piece here is tying to this notion of what's helpful and what's unhelpful. So this piece of what's helpful for us and what's unhelpful for us is a really crucial understanding. And it's one that we learn about. It's not something that we come to full-blown. We can learn about it a little bit through hearing teachings. We learn about it. The Buddha suggested that if we act out of greed, aversion, or delusion, those actions are going to tend to cause harm and suffering. So he said that, and we can reflect on that. But it's not really until we begin to know it for ourselves that it becomes real for us and true for us. So the Buddha recommended to his son, look at the situation, see, is it going to cause harm? Can you see a way that this would cause harm? If you see a way that it would cause harm, then don't do that. If you don't see that it would cause harm, then go ahead and do that action. And he said, don't stop there. While you're taking the action, reflect, is this causing harm? If it is, then stop. And not to stop there, after you've done the action, reflect, did it cause harm to myself or another? If it did, then reflect back on that, understand what happened, make amends, and undertake a resolve not to do that again in the future. And so what I want to key in on here is the use of reflection. Because this is skillfully using thought. It's not just it's this reflection process I think of as one that really helps us to learn from our experience. So we can, through this reflection, begin to see for ourselves which actions, which motivations do tend to lead to harm and suffering, which ones kind of rebound on us, which ones make other people suffer. We begin to see that directly. So it's no longer just somebody telling us these things lead to harm. It's actually, it becomes real for us. We see, we understand through this process of reflection. So we, through this process of reflection, we begin to learn from our experience and we can begin to become our own teacher, essentially. We look at our actions and then we begin to understand the consequences of our actions with respect to this key teaching around what leads to harm, what leads to non-harm, what leads to affliction, what does not lead to affliction. So this is a training for us. It's a training in wisdom, but it's also a training in compassion. This is really a reflection on the Buddha's first noble truth. He said, understand what causes suffering. Understand suffering. As we begin to understand suffering, we see the things in our hearts and minds that lead to suffering. We see the cause and effect relationship. And we also begin to understand the harm, the suffering that it might be causing others, which begins to open our hearts to more of the compassion. So we train in this reflection. We look at our experience. We review our experience. We contemplate before we act. We contemplate while we're acting. We look back after we've acted. Did this cause harm? So the reviewing part is one that I'd like to explore a little bit here tonight, because this is one that when I first started exploring conscious reflection like this, when I'd look back at, did I do something that caused harm? You know, this would be like a one-way ticket into self-flagellation. You know, when I started this process, it'd be like if I did something that created harm, if I started thinking about it, all that I would end up doing is beating myself up about it. And that's not so helpful. That's not a helpful way to engage in reflection. And so I'd like to explore this. What does it mean? How might we review, think back on times when we didn't act so skillfully? And use that not to beat ourselves up, but to consciously, skillfully reflect. How might we do that? So to do this, I'd like to... I'll talk a little bit first, but then I'll do a little bit of a guided reflection with you, asking you to explore something, you know, consciously explore it and see if that you can get a sense of what it means to think consciously and skillfully about something. So one of the keys with reflection that's helpful to understand is that as we bring, and you see this in the random thoughts that appear in your minds, you know, some random thought appears in your mind. You know, you're sitting there minding your own business and suddenly, you know, something pops into your mind about a conversation you had yesterday with somebody, a difficult conversation you had. What happens to you? You know, often when that happens, your whole body begins to get engaged in that story. And so this is the first thing to recognize about reflection. When you bring something into your mind, it will produce feelings in the body and mind here and now. This is one of the most powerful things about thought. When thoughts come into our mind, they impact our mind and body now. This is why I think they have so much power over us, because we get swept into that world. We get hooked into the emotional content often, especially when they're charged thoughts. If a charged thought arises, we get hooked into the emotion of that thought. Rather than recognizing there's a thought in my mind, it's creating here and now the emotions. So this is one of the things to recognize about reflection, that as you bring thoughts into your mind, reflect on something, it will probably create stuff. This is part of the difficulty with thoughts and reflection, but it's also part of the power of how we can use mindfulness to skillfully think about things. Because what we do with reflection, we bring something into our minds, review something in our minds, rather than, since we're doing this consciously, since we're choosing to bring this into our minds consciously, we have hope, perhaps, of being able to be aware of what's happening in our hearts and minds and our bodies in this moment, rather than being swept away by it. This recognition of what happens as we bring a thought into our minds to review, this recognition of how it impacts us, is a big part of how a reflection, a skillful reflection, unfolds. So we bring a thought into our minds and we see, how does it impact me here and now? How does this make me feel here and now? Can I be here and now with these feelings that I got so swept away with when I was involved in the situation a few days ago? So this begins to help us to cultivate the skills of being aware, being mindful, being present in a charged situation. And also, because we're doing this consciously, we can begin to bring in some conscious, skillful thoughts. How might I look at this from a different perspective? How might I look at this situation from a different perspective? What wisdom might help me here? So we can consciously, because we're doing this consciously, we can bring in other conscious thoughts that might help us to navigate that difficult area. So I'd like to try this with you as a guided reflection, a guided meditation. And I will do it for maybe 7 or 8 minutes or so. And then we can have a discussion about how this was for you and any comments or questions or thoughts you have about it. So we'll start just by allowing yourself to settle into your body. And this also part of this practice here, to kind of highlight this, begin by finding a place and a time where you can do this consciously. Let yourself settle into a meditative mode before bringing in something to reflect on. So allow yourself to settle into your body. Maybe take a deep breath. Connect with your body. And take a couple of conscious breaths. Breathing in, know you're breathing in. Breathing out, know that you're breathing out. And I'd like to ask you to call to mind sometime during the last week or so, during which you felt a sense of struggle. And if several come to mind, just allow yourself to pick one specific time. And allow yourself to call up this situation, this event, fully in your mind. See if you can recall any details of where you were, how you were situated, who you were with. What you might have been saying. Any moods or emotions you might have been experiencing at the time. While you allow yourself to create this recollection, to review this period, this time of struggle, see if you can also track how this is impacting your experience here and now. Check into your body. Is it impacting your body to recall this event? How about your mental experience? Is this impacting your mental experience, your moods, your emotions here and now? As you explore this, both this recollection, recalling this event, and how it's impacting you here and now, see if you can bring an interest to the exploration itself. This is an opportunity to learn about yourself. See if you can let go of resistance or self-judgment. And keep checking into your body and your moods, your emotions in the present moment. See if you can identify some aspect of the experience that you might be able to learn from. Your present moment experience might be a guide in this part, keeping track of how this recollection is impacting you here and now. At this point, let go of the specific event, the image or the recollection of the specific event. Staying in touch with your experience here and now. Reflect on how the mindfulness practice might support you in such a situation. Allow yourself to reflect on how a Dharma perspective might support you. Reflecting on perhaps cause and effect. Compassion. Impermanence. Non-identification. And noticing how it feels here and now to bring in the perspective of wisdom. So does anybody have anything they'd like to offer or share, or questions you'd like to ask, or anything about that exploration? Okay, Joel.
So I'll preface this by saying, I have a bad sore in my mouth and my tongue, and it's hard for me to speak a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So there's nothing to do with the content, it's my mouth. Anyway, I don't know if this goes under the rubric of what we've been doing, but it's kind of a little bit, it has to do with thought, so I'm going to bring it up. And it has to do with a specific event that is related to IMC. We've been having a book club, and the author of the book, Shaila Catherine, who teaches in South Mountain View, was to appear, and I kind of promoted this book and kind of got this going, and she was to appear December 14th, Friday, which was unfortunately that tragic day with the Newtown killings. Anyway, I went, stopped on El Camino. I was all set to go. It was important that I'd be there. You know, I mean, I was kind of part of this book club, and since I was kind of, you know, instrumental in kind of getting it going for this particular book, I figured, oh, great, you know, I definitely want to be there. And so I stopped in El Camino to get something near El Camino, and I couldn't even get on El Camino. It was so crowded. Well, anyway, I went up Sand Hill Road. It turns out there was a multiple fatality accident in Edgewood Road, and I couldn't even get here. I would have been here at 8 o'clock at night. It was from 5:30 to 7. So anyway, so I'm going up Sand Hill Road. I made this choice to try to go up 280 to get here. And obviously, I wasn't moving. And I'm sitting here going, okay, traffic jam. Now I can start to complain. I mean, I'm powerless here. This is ridiculous. It's beyond the point of even complaining. But I'm going, yeah, I should have been there. And maybe I shouldn't have gone to El Camino Real. I didn't really have to, and blah, blah, blah. And I started going into that thought cycle. But I said to myself, how can I be wise here? I mean, I can obsess about what happened on 6 hours before whatever in Connecticut. You know, this is not a good path. And yet I saw my mind doing what it was doing. Okay. Well, I've had this affirmation, a Thich Nhat Hanh affirmation that I've been playing with and I hadn't really been committing to, and I thought it was a really good one. And I decided right then and there I would say it like 50 or 100 times, and I would just fill my mind with this affirmation. It was a very kind of a presence mindfulness affirmation. And then I would commit it to my life for the year 2013, just for the heck of it. I'd say it multiple times a day and just see where it leads. And that's exactly what I've done.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is very, I mean, it's related to this. I mean, it's essentially recognizing, you know, okay, so this, the mind is headed in unskillful thought. So you saw that. You recognize that's not helpful. And then you did, I kind of referred to this briefly at the beginning about replacing the thought.
Yep.
And I suggested, you know, you might be able to bring in wisdom and use the example of, you know, reflecting on how somebody might be suffering when they were speaking to you. But this is another way, essentially, to just bring in, it sounds like you brought in wisdom thoughts.
Yes.
And just said those wisdom thoughts to yourself over and over and over again. Essentially, when you're consciously thinking a thought like that, your mind cannot simultaneously think an unwholesome thought. So it averts the mind from heading down that path. So that it is a helpful tool if you can begin to recognize that. The only care we need to take there is that we're not doing that out of aversion.
Yeah, and that would be my little question I'd have. How do I bring it into my life? If I'm going to commit to this, and we're not talking thousands of times a day, we're maybe 10, 20, 30 times a day, just being aware of it. How do I bring it in skillfully?
Right.
The situation forced me into, you know, something I'd been thinking about, and I said, wow, this is kind of the time. How do I bring it in skillfully and, you know, not get obsessed about it, whatever? And that's kind of where I'm looking at as I'm being involved with this thought. And it seems like a, you know, pretty reasonable, but I want to watch the aversion part.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's mostly for yourself. This is where some of the exploration comes in. You know, this is the learning. You know, okay,
yep.
What does it mean? You know, there may be subtler ways that aversion might come in that you might not be so conscious of. But so, you know, just know for yourself as best you can, okay, it feels like I'm doing this. You know, I'm going to choose to do this. Choose to do it consciously and check. Does it feel like there's aversion present as I'm choosing to do this? If you don't see that, then go ahead. I mean, it's just like what the Buddha suggested. If you don't see it, then go ahead with it. If while you're doing it, you might notice there's a little kind of forcing or something. Well, maybe there's some aversion there. Maybe I should check in. So, you know, just look at it as best you can. That's the best
good advice.
Suggestion I could have there.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Marie, and I really thank you for offering this meeting. I have a teenage daughter and who's going down the wrong path, and I'm daily torturing myself. What I did wrong, I did that wrong. And I'm trying to do this reflection, but I can't find the wisdom to stop that constant guilt and all these negative thoughts, even though I try to follow your guideline to kind of move out of it, it's still constantly just torturing me nonstop. So I don't know what kind of advice you can give for that.
So does it come unbidden a lot, this kind of thought, this kind of
Yes, it's just all the time.
So when it comes like that, often there's an emotion that's associated with those thoughts. Can you feel into that? Is there an emotion that's connected? I mean, it sounds like maybe some feeling of guilt.
Right, uh-huh. Yeah. That's basically it. It's just overwhelming guilt for all the mistakes I made. But obviously it can't all be mine, but I take it that way.
Right. So, you know, with that kind of, it's interesting, our minds, my kind of reflection on guilt in my own mind is that it's kind of like my mind wants to keep reminding me how bad it was so that I won't do it again or something like that. You know, it's like my mind seems to think I need to keep telling myself what a bad person I was so that I won't be a bad person in the future or something like that. Partly, you know, it's a process. This whole exploration is a process. Partly, a reflection here of, you know, that's in the past. You know, it's done. What is skillful that I can move forward for in the future? And here's where sometimes the guilt thoughts, they can be a double-edged sword, you know, that sometimes, you know, some aspects of guilt are simply, you know, completely self-flagellation. You know, it's like not helpful at all. And some aspects of guilt are a little bit of a nugget of truth to it. You know, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. That was not so helpful. And that's the place, I think, where we need to learn a skillful relationship. So what I've seen is, you know, there's some aspects of the way our minds work. When we've done something unskillful like that, sometimes we can just beat ourselves up about it, telling ourselves what a bad person we were. Other times it's kind of like we try to stand on our heads to find a way to prove to ourselves it was okay that we did what we did. I don't know if you have any of that in there too. No? Okay. I mean, sometimes I find that is kind of a part of it. It's kind of like, well, yeah, it's defense. It's self-defensiveness almost. You know that can be a part of it, and part of for me what has helped is to acknowledge the part that wasn't so helpful. Yes, that wasn't so helpful, and this is what it feels like to have done that, and to let the you know, the guilt is not a very helpful emotion. You know, it's reviewing the past. It's reviewing the past, and it's not. It tends to review the past in such a way that is not helping to carry us forward, and so the exploration is: can we connect with whatever it was that we did, acknowledge the unskillful part of it, and acknowledge to ourselves, yeah, that wasn't skillful. How can I step forward from here? You know, kind of let go. It's like, that's done with. That's over. For me, the repetition was a lot of the aspect of guilt. And when I finally could not repeat, but just kind of acknowledge this crucial piece. Yes, I did this wrong. You know, I did this part wrong. And then tried to make amends for that part. Then there's a whole, so that's one side of things when the guilt actually has a nugget of truth to it. You know, that there's a, so that's learning. How do we navigate that? That's where this kind of skillful reflection can come in, because we can learn how to be with the feelings of... There's a difference between the feeling of guilt and a feeling of kind of conscience. and concern. You know, that, yeah, that wasn't so helpful, you know, to so that just beginning to distinguish those, just beginning to tease those apart. And then there's a whole category of things, and I'm not sure if this is where your guilt partly could be, is that largely our notion of what we did wrong is in our own minds. And it's not terribly even true, you know, that there's large, vast chunks of what we tell ourselves how horrible we were, that large parts of it aren't even true. And so again, beginning to distinguish which parts are true and valid and which parts are just ourselves telling ourselves some story. So that's part of the it takes a willingness to go in there and meet, and the exploration I did tonight is partly about, can you meet, as you bring these things up in your mind, can you meet the feelings that come? It sounds like there's some overwhelm that comes when you reflect on some of these difficult memories. With overwhelm, there's kind of a, it's helpful to learn a kind of a titration. You know what titration is? You know, it's a, the word is used in medicine when you're trying to find the right dose of a medication. You know, you give just a little bit, you know, just a little bit of the medicine to see, you know, just how much the body can take. And so it's kind of like with a difficult reflection like that, you might just bring it up for like a moment. Let yourself feel into those feelings of guilt. And then see if you can turn your attention to something. Find a way to turn your attention to something more neutral, so that you just give yourself a little tiny dose of that feeling. Give yourself a little bit of that, meeting that feeling of guilt and touching into that area and beginning to distinguish what is the nugget of truth and what is just the mind spinning. Just touch into that for a moment and then turn your attention to something else. This is another skillful tool that we learn for ourselves with mindfulness, is when we recognize, okay, this is enough. I can't be with this. We begin to recognize in our own minds when something sweeps us away, you know, when we cannot be mindful of something. And so something like what Joel suggested might be helpful too, to put something else into your mind, something more wholesome perhaps, or even something neutral. Something that Joseph Goldstein recommended about self-judging thoughts in particular was to, every time you heard your mind saying a self-judging thought, to add a neutral, true thought to that thought. So something like, I shouldn't have done that. And the sky is blue. So partly that's a way of reminding your mind, this is just a thought, you know. it's just a thought. But it also puts something that's neutral and true into your mind that kind of can take some of the spin out of the mind kind of heading down that path. Yeah, I just shouldn't have done that. It was so, and the sky is blue. Okay. Just kind of allowing your mind to reconnect to that very simple, and the sky is blue, and the sky is blue. So those are a few thoughts. And it sounds like a challenging situation.
It is very challenging, but coming here is actually helping a lot. So I feel if I keep coming, I'm going to get there.
It is a slow process. I mean, in my experience, the unwinding that happens around the ways we get hooked. I mean, when I first started this, I just was kept getting fired into anger over and over again. And I just said to myself, look, I'm just going to be aware every time I get angry. I'm just going to do that. And over the course of a few months, it really helped to begin to give myself some space around that challenge. And so that's something you might explore. Every time you find yourself hooked into that guilt, just notice what's happening in that moment and then see if you can divert your attention. Just for a moment, check in. How is this feeling of guilt impacting me here and now? And the sky is blue. And can I turn my attention to something neutral right now? And just see what happens. You know, my experience was that over the course of several months, that commitment to say, I'm going to wake up every time that happens in my daily life. This was in my daily, my very first meditation mindfulness practice was in my daily life. It was not a sitting meditation practice. And I found it, I got a lot of space around that difficulty, that anger. Now, initially, I began to really just see, oh, there's anger again. And you might over this, and it was kind of like I wasn't so hooked into the belief of it. It's just like, oh, there's anger. Okay. And for you, it might get to the place where it's, oh, there's guilt again. Okay. Can you imagine the difference that might make in your mind if you could just say, oh, there's guilt again. Okay. As opposed to the way, at this point, it's kind of, you're hooked into the belief around the guilt. So I definitely encourage you, from my own experience, this practice is hugely beneficial for just this kind of difficulty.
Thank you very much.
Time for maybe one more quick one, if there's anything. Okay, why don't we just sit for a moment? We only have about 30 seconds left anyway. I'll end with a little bit of metta, a little bit of loving kindness practice, because this is a skillful use of thought. This is using conscious thoughts directed towards kindness. So allowing yourself to connect to yourself sitting here and just wishing yourself well. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe from harm. May I have a life of ease and peace. And just as we wish this for ourselves, so too we wish for all beings. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings be free from harm. May all beings have a life filled with ease and peace. Thank you for your attention.